J6, number 5A.
All right, so we go on, and what I want to bring out now is that terrific danger that happens in the world today of calling the mental realm spiritual. So we see this happening in many, many ways. Now, I mentioned to you Willis Harmon as being a head of the Institute of Noetic Sciences now. He is quite a scholar and a gentleman, and to say the least. A wonderful, wonderful person who has written many, many books and has tremendous insight in the paradigm shifts that are going on in the world. He just has a tremendous background, and you can read his different activities that he has accomplished. And in his book, one called Global Mind Change, one of his recent books, on page 34-35, he's talking about these, what he calls three metaphysical perspectives concerning reality. And he says that an oversimplified, for clarity, he says, let us think in terms of three basically different kinds of implicit metaphysics. And what he calls M1, these are different standpoints or degrees that he sees going on in the world, which he calls three metaphysical perspectives. He gives as an M1, which is materialistic monism, just as we've shown that there's materialistic monism where matter gives rise to mind. He sees that as happening, just as we saw, the first degree of the material, which he calls materialistic monism, in which we did also, and which he saw matter gives rise to mind through evolution, and that mind is really the physical brain. We saw that also. In the second degree of the mental, which we called metaphysical dualism of Descartes, or mental monism, he calls dualism. He gives an explanation there of really Descartes' metaphysical dualism, where he says that there is two basic stuffs of the universe, matter and energy, and mind and spirit stuff. So he sees the second degree of mentalism. Then he wants to say that there is a third degree, which he calls transcendental monism, where mind gives rise to matter. And there he wants to call that the ultimate. And he wants to call it ultimate reality. And there it isn't. It's still mental. He's still just talking about mind giving rise to matter. That's the mental realm giving rise, this mental realm giving rise to matter. And yet he wants to call it ultimate, and that's where the danger is, because he doesn't see the spiritual realm yet. He's just working with the first degree of materialistic monism and the second degree of mentalism, and yet he wants to say, I can see that his third stage there of M3 transcendental monism, I think he wants to say it's spiritual, because he says it's ultimate, you see. He says, yet a third metaphysics finds the ultimate stuff of the universe to be consciousness. Well, we can go along with that. He says, mind or consciousness is primary, and matter and energy arises in some sense out of mind. See, he still brings back matter and energy. And that doesn't happen in the spiritual realm. All is mind and its idea, and matter and energy is excluded. It's unknown. It doesn't exist. So his M3 is still a mental realm. And he says that the physical world is to the greater mind as a dream image is to the individual mind. So he sees that the mental realm, that those beliefs of the mental realm gives rise to the physical realm, and the physical realm is just the image projected from the mental realm. Well, that's all okay, but that's still just the second degree. So he says, ultimately, the reality behind the phenomenal world is contacted, not through the physical senses, but through deep intuition. So it's still mental, you see. He said, ultimately, the only way you can contact reality is not through the five physical senses, but is through intuition. Well, that intuition there is just the intuition that comes to the human mind. And that intuition, the danger is that that intuition is not revelation. That intuition is just intuitiving what mortal consciousness, what's going on in the collective unconscious realm. See, that mental realm operates on intuition, no more on the five physical senses. But the danger of intuition is that it isn't intuitiving the spiritual realm of ideas, it's intuiting the mental realm of the universal and collective unconscious. But they do see that the method of awareness changes from the physical sense testimony to intuition. And Carmen is one of the big leaders that says that science gains its information much more through intuition than it does through physical sense testimony. And he's right, but he thinks that's the ultimate answer. And it's not. It's still just mental. And then he says that consciousness is not the end product of material evolution. Rather, consciousness was here first. See, so he sees that all was mental, and that the mental gives rise to the physical. But he doesn't see that the spiritual realm. He really ultimately only stops at the mental realm. Therefore, it would be wonderful to talk to him. I have given him the Kapler... my niece, who worked at the Institute of Noetic Science, presented him one of Max's books, and I have told him about the Institute, but it's too soon, to have contact with him. But he's one person, if the Christ allows, that one would love to talk with, because he certainly wouldn't take much to see that it is still the mental he's talking about, in that, yes, there is a spiritual, and that is all his mind and mind's manifestation, and that knowledge is gained through revelation and not through intuition or the physical senses. He's so close to being one who would understand with what we're doing. Now, so I see there that Harmon has yet to go to have the spiritual realm defined to his work. Now, also, the danger is Harmon's work is very dignified and very respectable and of high quality, I feel. That Institute of Noetic Science. Very, very good. But when you get into this work of mysticism and mystic in the New Age, that totally is something else again. That becomes a hodgepodge of everything possible being lumped together into mysticism, Oriental philosophy, all of this. Call the New Age, and the danger here is that they call this New Age the spiritual realm, as I said. And you know, this was an article in, I guess it was U.S. News and World Report, February 9th, 1987. There's been many since, but because I had this, it was just the one I have with me, where it's talking about the New Age and shows how from Manhattan to Malibu, a big and bizarre business is springing up as Americans look for supernatural answer to real-life problems. In this article, it says that psychics are collecting up to $250 an hour for making predictions and channeling advice from entities, alleged spirits, from another world or another time. That's just spiritualism. The number of professional channels in California alone top 1,000. Well, that was a few years ago. It says that individuals in all walks of life are contributing to the psychic boom. Our audience used to be 90% housewives. Now they're 60% professional and business people. Then they go on and talk about Shirley MacLaine, you know, who's one of these big New Age spokeswomen. She talks about this month is seeing two mystic experience books by Shirley MacLaine return to the high spots on the bestseller charts. She has sold 4 million copies even before ABC TV devoted 5 hours of prime time in January, that would have been 87, to her personal trek through a psychic world. The actress is now on a 10-city spiritual seminar tour. Well, it's not spiritual, it's mental. That charges $300 per person, $100 for mind, $100 for body, and $100 for the spirit, she says. I know she's sincere, though, and most of these people are sincere. They really do want to help. They talk about how we demonstrated anomalies that science can't explain. You see, there's those anomalies. You see that the physical paradigm can't explain these anomalies of the mental realm, which is true. Such believers in the paranormal belong to a New Age subculture that combines elements of the 60s distrust of conventional institutions with a bevy of mystical philosophies. Many practice meditation, self-hypnosis, and the like to promote personal growth. Then it goes on to tell about all the bookshops that are selling all these New Age books. Then they go on to talk about the main intention of the spiritual practice is personal and social harmony, says Marilyn Ferguson, whose Aquarian Conspiracy articulates the New Age philosophy. Well, Marilyn Ferguson is one of these New Age people have written the book Aquarian Conspiracy, and she will call them spiritual practices. Then in a paper that from Seattle, this was again January 18, 1987, this whole thing was devoted to the New Age, where it says that the New Age is neither an organization nor a dogmatic religion. Rather, it is an amalgamation of new thought that ranges from liberal Christianity to what is only half-jokingly described as born-again paganism. Then it says in this article that the New Age is unorganized, has no dogma, and tends to shun publicity. Yet it is a movement spawning a New Age music industry, bookstores, magazines, newspaper, and churches. Adherents hope it is the world's salvation. See, they hope that mental realm is the world's salvation. Fundamentalists fear it is Satan's assault on Christianity. New Agers trace their roots back to the transcendental theories of Ralph Waldo Emerson and Henry Thoreau in the 1850s. Today, it is a kind of make-your-own religion and lifestyle that includes theories from theosophy, Christian science, psychology, Eastern religion, ancient philosophers, American Indians, and the counterculture spiritualists who emerged in the 1960s. How would Mrs. Eddy like Christian science lumped in all that? Yeah. Sure. Hence, Christian science versus human philosophy, huh? Sure. It's just lumped in there like any other isms and ology, and that's what they consider it, just another cult. Well, the church hasn't helped much to discourage it. When they go to explain Christian science, you want to run and hide. With all the malpractice suits coming out with the church, with these child law cases, and they get the practitioners on the television to defend Christian science, you think, my gosh, how did they ever take Christian science seriously? These people have no idea what Christian science is about, and they have no idea how to defend it intelligently. They just mumble and jumble, and people will just think that Christian science is just crazy. And the practice is crazy that they do. It is not an intelligent approach to science as Mrs. Eddy really taught it. So one can see why they lump Christian science with the rest if they take what is just coming out as general Christian science as the norm. But according to what Mrs. Eddy gave, it certainly is not Christian science. So anyhow, I just wanted you to see that they're lumping the concept of Christian science with New Age, and that's where we have to be alert to defend what Mrs. Eddy gave is a spiritual science. It has nothing to do with his mental New Age concepts at all, does it? It's in a whole realm of its own. It's in a spiritual realm. And what we see then, the hierarchy, is that spiritual controls the mental, which controls the physical. And therefore, when we work in the realm of the spiritual, we work in the realm of ideas, of facts. And those facts analyze, uncover, and annihilate false beliefs. And once those false beliefs have been analyzed, uncovered, and annihilated through the spiritual facts, then the false beliefs disappear. And when the false beliefs disappear, so does the material universe. And all that is left is the spiritual universe. Because Mrs. Eddy says that in the third degree, mortal mind disappears, and man in God's image appears. Well, when mortal mind disappears, when that physical realm disappears, so does the mental realm, because the mental realm, that human realm, is just half false beliefs, half true, half false concepts, half true concepts. And when all the false concepts are gone from mentality, so disappears the objective material realm, because that's just a false concept. And when the mental is left only with true concepts are spiritual, and therefore even the mental realm disappears, and all you have is a spiritual. So that's why the mental realm she calls transitional, because it's going to disappear when the false concepts disappear, and you only have true concepts, which leave you with the spiritual. So ultimately, only the spiritual good degree is left.
Don't you think, Bob, a transitional...
Yes. Sure, it's the mental realm. But I only pointed out the danger is they call it spiritual. And they call it ultimate. They want to stop here as the ultimate solution. See, Harmon said this was ultimate reality. No, they'll find out. And they call this spiritual practices. Well, they're not. This is mental. Well, they're going to find out, because as Mrs. Eddy said, this mental realm will just be hell let loose. Because that mental realm is just a realm which operates under good and evil. And so, yes, there will be good by thinking positively, but there's also evil. And they're already trying to exploit the mental realm for psychic warfare, for the use of evil. There's a lot of research going into good, but there's a lot of research going into using mind for the name of evil. And that's where Mrs. Eddy finally went on to really see the spiritual realm clearly. Because remember, she had a student called Kennedy. And Kennedy, while Mrs. Eddy was upstairs declaring the truth spiritually, he was downstairs declaring it in the name of evil, mentally manipulating mind manipulation in the name of evil. So she saw that he was causing negative results. And so then she capitalized mind and says, well, that mentality can be used for good and evil. It was for she had a hard time seeing that the mental could be used for anything but good. And that's when she took up the study of animal magnetism. She didn't want to take up the study of animal magnetism. She complains about having to take it up. She didn't want it to be. It was suffered to be so, but I had to do it. Because her vision was from the spiritual realm. She didn't want to be bothered with the fact that there's only the spiritual and it works for good. But when she saw that the mental can be used for good and evil on the mental realm, certainly only the divine mind can be used for good, but she saw the mental realm as good and evil, that she then capitalized mind and said, now the divine mind is only for good and works only in the realm of ideas, but the human mind can be good and evil. And when the world sees that it's caught in a realm that is using its mind for good and evil, what's it up to? It that evil is much worse than being faced with a cannon or a gun, because at least with a cannon and a gun you have a chance to duck under a table, or to go behind a door and hope it doesn't come through, or to put on a bullet vest policeman. But with mental assassination, who cares if you have a bulletproof vest on? It's just killed off through mental assassination. And so that's where the world is going to have to protect itself against mental assassination. How does it do it? Only through the spiritual realm. Only one's only protection is when you're outside of the spirit, the mental realm. You're not in it or part of it. Your safety is in mind. And therefore, you're not touched by mental beliefs, good or evil. So Jesus's whole mentality wasn't touched by good thoughts or evil thoughts. He was safe in soul. So our only safety will be in our spiritual identity, which is outside, and there we cannot be touched. There's mental assassin. It doesn't matter what people think. It can't touch us. That's so that it's only when that mental realm becomes hell, let loose, and there is mental assassination going on, that nobody shot anybody and they died, and for no reason at all, until they finally find out that mind was the culprit, mortal mind was the culprit, that then they will really seek out the spiritual. Unfortunately, it comes through suffering and not through science, you know. But it will happen. But it may have to go through a period like that. That's where she said it could be hell let loose. So anyhow, when safety is in the spiritual, hopefully, we do our work through seminars and classes and conferences. Hopefully it can come through education, through spiritual education. If one can alert the world that there's a higher level, a higher degree called the spiritual, in which where there's safety in the realm of the divine mind, outside of the mental realm, and that you work with mind and its ideas, and against such a consciousness, Mrs. Eddy said, there is no law. There's no law of mortal mind that can work against the consciousness that all is God and its ideas. That's which handles that realm of, that's animal magnetism unmasked. There's no influence in our life that can touch us. So, see this, it gives you a grid, these 3 degrees, on that realm of. So now we enter the spiritual realm, and I only want to touch on it because we will then begin defining it, to define what it is more and more tomorrow, first through the Bible and then through the textbook. So we will take a look at the biblical explanation of it through the first record of creation, what the spiritual realm is, and then the opposite claim against it through the second record of creation. And we'll just keep building up our awareness of the spiritual realm. But we know that Mrs. Eddy defined that spiritual realm through what she gives us as a divine system of reference. So if she says to us here that what is reality? That reality is God and its idea. Then we say to ourselves, well, what is God? Now, how do you define the spiritual realm? And so she says, as we have seen, that God is principle. God is the fundamental truth of the universe. God is the comprehensive law, which includes all other laws. Now, what is the nature of God? What is the nature of that law or principle of the universe? So she begins to define the spiritual realm in the textbook. The textbook is only defining what that spiritual realm is. So in answer to the question, what is God, on page 465, she said, well, God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite, mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. That is what God is. So we see that she used the method of science, the method of analysis, the method of differentiation. Through revelation, Mrs. Eddy took that undefined term God and defined it. That's always a science. It gives a definition too. It gives a differentiation. And so through the method of science is always to take God the infinite and reduce it to simplicity, to analyze it into its basic constituents. So that's what she did. She took God and passed it through a prism, where she says in retrospection and introspection, she says, science is the prism of truth, which divides its rays and brings out the hues of deity. So we see then, she, as I just said, then she used the method of science to define God through the process of analysis as being the seven synonymous terms, what we call the seven synonymous terms of mind, that God is mind, God is spirit, God is soul, God is principle, God is life, God is truth, and God is love. And we see then that this gives us the nature of God. But when we look in the textbook and in defining the spiritual realm, she doesn't only define that spiritual realm through the capitalized terms of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, but she also defines the spiritual realm through eight other terms. Four of them being the Word, Christ, Christianity, and science, and four more being science itself, divine science, absolute Christian science, and Christian science. So here we see that Mrs. Eddy defines that spiritual realm into three different categories. And here you have this, I showed it to you yesterday, this is just an adaptation, what you have in the study aid, I think, page one or something, how Mrs. Eddy then through inspiration took that infinite one and reduced it to three fundamental categories, saying, all right, that infinite one, I reduce it first to the nature of God, as I said, that the nature of God is mind, meaning that the nature of God is that God, that principle, is an intelligent principle. The nature of God is that it's spirit, that intelligent principle is the only reality, that's spirit. That the nature of that principle, God, is soul, meaning that identity, that intelligent principle, which is the only reality, is unchangeable. It has an unchangeable identity, that's soul. And then she defined God as principle, meaning that intelligent principle, which is the only reality, which is an unchangeable identity, is of the nature of harmonious government. It's the harmonious government of the universe. And then she defined the nature of God as life, saying that the nature of that principle is that it is life. Its nature is that it lives spontaneously, instantaneously, immediately. That the nature of God is the spontaneity of life, the newness of life, the abundance of life. And that the nature of God is truth. That the nature of God is that it has an ideal form. And the nature of God is love, that it's perfect. So those seven synonymous terms define the nature of the spiritual realm, or God. But a nature just defines what it is. It doesn't say what that nature does it? So she gave us another category, the second category, which is the fourfold operation. And this second category of the Word, Christ, Christianity, and science, the next group of capitalized terms in the textbook, tells us how God operates, how that nature operates.